The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up and play Who Wants a Quarterback? Why exactly is Baker Mayfield sitting in QB limbo? All they want in Titletown is another ring, but if Aaron Rodgers delivers this year, would he walk away? And Zion Williamson hasn't played a game all season, but something he posted last night set the internet on fire. We will explain. Welcome to Get Up on this Wednesday morning. I am Dan Graziano in for Greeny, and I look like I'm all by myself, but I am not, because I'm joined today by Jeff Darlington, Ryan Clark, Robert Griffin III for some offseason quarterback talk. We got the NBA guys coming in a little bit later on, and that's actually where we start with the performance of the night. The Atlanta Hawks taking on the New York Knicks. Trae Young's first time back at Madison Square Garden since the playoffs, and they were real happy to see him. Bogdan Bogdanovic heaves the ball all the way up court to Young for the floater as the first quarter buzzer goes off. Young playing to the crowd. Knicks fans booing him just like old times. Third quarter, Hawks leading 67-60. Young sinks the three from the middle to put the Hawks up 10. Now just under 4 minutes left in the quarter. Hawks up five. Young works off the screen and gets the pass back before firing off the three. Hawks leading 81-73. Spike, not happy. Under 3 minutes to play in the game now. Hawks down three. Bogdanovic dishes to Young, who pulls up for the three. Ties the game at 105. Just over a minute to go now. The Hawks are up six.
Gibson around him, shoots.
Gibson and nails the jumper. Trae Young finishes with 45 points, a career high at Madison Square Garden. Watch the handles. He puts Gibson on skates. Hawks win by six, and Trae Young loves playing in Madison Square Garden. Highest points per game by a visiting player. You've heard of the guys in front of him, I would say. Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, and James Harden. So Trae Young at Madison Square Garden is effectively a Hall of Fame player. And we'll see next time he goes there how he does. In the meantime, let's get to the NFL's quarterback carousel. Past week has been really busy. Deshaun Watson is headed to the Cleveland Browns. His 121 combined passing and rushing touchdowns are the third most by any player in his first four NFL seasons. Matt Ryan, after the Falcons did not get Watson, was traded to the Colts. He leads the Atlanta Falcons as their franchise leader in wins, passing yards, passing touchdowns, completions, and attempts. And Baker Mayfield is still on the Browns roster, but maybe not for long. Baker had the largest total drop-off in total QBR from 2020 to 2021 and ranked 26th or worse in touchdown-to-interception ratio, completion percentage, a bunch of other stats. The Carolina Panthers need a quarterback, but our man David Newton in Carolina says that they will not be pursuing Baker Mayfield, regardless of reports that indicated otherwise. So that makes one quarterback needy team that doesn't want Baker, but it leaves us with the question of who does. So this guy was the number one pick in the draft 4 years ago. He has been replaced by Deshaun Watson, and it doesn't sound like there's a whole bunch of teams out there that are eager to add him to the roster. So, Jeff Darlington, catch us up. What, if any, is the interest level right now in Baker Mayfield?
Well, Dan, it's important to have perspective on this from a couple of different angles. And the first of which is, yes, while those teams and others around the league are not interested in Baker Mayfield right now, we need to also understand that once the compensation levels and the potential amount of salary that a team will have to pick up if they were to trade for Mayfield comes down. In other words, once the Cleveland Browns realize that they have no other option but to reduce their trade value on him, do we expect to see some sort of action? And I would point toward a year ago when Teddy Bridgewater ultimately was traded from the Carolina Panthers to the Denver Broncos. That happened at the end of April. And it happened because a couple of reasons. The first of which was the Denver Broncos only had to pick up a portion of his salary at that point, and the Carolina Panthers were left on the hook for the bulk of that. And then the other part, it was only a sixth-round pick. So ultimately, Baker Mayfield will find a home, and I would anticipate it happens before the Browns were to have to release him. It's just a matter of when they decide to bring that compensation level down and when a QB needy team or one that just seeks some type of competition ultimately steps up to the plate. So we're going to have some patience here is what I'm trying to say, Dan.
So a couple things. His salary is fully guaranteed, right? $18.8 million for this year. So do you think there's that gets to a point where they just cut him and any team can sign him for whatever they want?
I don't, because I ultimately think that they're more incentivized to try to unload him to somebody, even if that team were to take on, for instance, the Broncos took on $4.5 million of Teddy Bridgewater's salary. That paled in comparison to the $17 million hit that the Carolina Panthers were left with. So I don't think that the Cleveland Browns, by the way, think about a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're probably a team that, with Mitch Trubisky, would take on Baker Mayfield for the competition. If the Browns were to just outright release Baker Mayfield, which maybe they'll eventually have to do, you don't think a team like the Steelers is going to pop in there and now the Browns, twice a year, have to play their former quarterback? I don't think so.
So, sticky situation for Cleveland in a couple of ways. RC, is there a team out there that you look at and say is a good fit for Baker right now?
First off, Jeff, don't you wish that on my team. Don't you do that. Don't you put Baker Mayfield in Pittsburgh. We just got comfortable with Mitchell Trubisky, and that is what we are going to stick with. Don't try to add more mess to what we are doing. We are not a team that wants to be surrounded by controversy. We have Mitchell Trubisky, and Mitchell we trust, and we are moving forward. Unless we could draft Malik Willis, then we're going to do that. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here to talk about Baker Mayfield. Listen, I think you look at somebody like the Seattle Seahawks. They have a guy like Drew Lock. You can come in and have competition. I know there's a big dead money hit in Atlanta after losing Matt Ryan or trading Matt Ryan to Indianapolis, but they only have Marcus Mariota. But what comes to me more than anything is the fact that teams aren't going to pay a high price for Baker. Teams understand what it looks like that the Cleveland Browns gave all of that guaranteed money to Deshaun Watson while he's still dealing with some things away from the field. And obviously everyone knows what those things are. And so the league and the other teams now understand that the Cleveland Browns are handicapped. The Cleveland Browns have to unload Baker Mayfield. So why would we take on $18 million for a guy we don't know is going to be our starter or a guy we don't know is going to be great? Do we want to be stuck in the Carolina Panthers Sam Darnold situation that they are in now? And I don't believe so. So Jeff is correct. As the compensation comes down, as they don't have to give up as much to get Baker Mayfield, I believe a team will let him come in and be there for the competition. And hopefully he wins in his case. And if he doesn't, you know you have a guy that's at least better than what many people feel can be a good starter when healthy. But Baker Mayfield's in a tough spot because the Cleveland Browns are also in a tough position.
Robert, how do you see this for Baker? What kind of path is available to him right now?
Well, for Baker, it seems like the Seattle Seahawks are the only team left. And the Browns have no trade leverage because they brought in Deshaun Watson. So whatever they're asking for, they got to bring it down tremendously. Otherwise, they're going to have to pay Baker Mayfield $18.9 million. But let me make the case for Seattle to bring in Baker Mayfield and not rock with Drew Lock and his rapping ways. Baker is a galvanizing player. He's a player that is willing to put everything on the line for his team as he played injured for the Browns last year. And maybe he's just the right type of personality that they need to make their fan base capture that imagination again after Russell Wilson's departure. Aside from Seattle, there's two sleeper teams. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like Ryan doesn't want him to be there, but he's better than Mitch Trubisky. And then there's also the New York Giants. If Daboll and the new regime don't really like what they're seeing from Daniel Jones as he goes through the offseason program, Baker Mayfield would be an upgrade there for them as well. But the bottom line is Baker doesn't have a trade market because of what the Browns have done and how they've torn him down in the media. So now they have to sit in the mess that they made.
I think RC has either fallen asleep or he just doesn't want to hear this on Baker Mayfield of the Steelers. I can't tell which it is.
I am meditating. I'm meditating it away.
Gotcha.
I am meditating Baker Mayfield away from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Jeff, I wanted to ask you because Robert referenced that he played hurt this year. There's not a health concern with Baker Mayfield, right, in terms of teams being reticent to take him on?
Well, Robert's exactly right. It was a brutal year for Baker, but he did have surgery to his non-throwing shoulder, a torn labrum there. So it's not like Jimmy Garoppolo won't be able to throw for 3 months. So not nearly as much of a concern in the immediate when it comes to signing into a roster.
So, Robert, if he has to go somewhere and he's not a starter, he's been a starter, obviously, since college, hasn't had to compete since early in his college career. Like, what becomes of his career and him if he ends up in a backup or a competition kind of role?
Well, Dan, one, I don't think Baker's a guy that will be able to be a backup because of his personality. He's an alpha. He's not a guy that's going to want to sit behind anybody. And he's been the main guy his entire career, from high school to college all the way into the pros. So I understand that feeling because I had to make that decision when I decided to sign with the Baltimore Ravens to be a backup. It's one of those things that, for me, I wanted to play the game so bad that I was willing to take that back seat. And I found solace in the fact that I was able to pay it forward and help teach a guy like Lamar Jackson growth and development over the course of 3 years. I don't see Baker as being that type of guy, but he is still a starter in this league. He just led the Browns to the playoffs a year ago, so I don't really understand why everyone is saying that he's a backup. He is a starter caliber, but if there's no starting spots, he's going to be left out in the rain dancing by himself with no umbrella.
Yeah, just a couple seasons ago, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and the Browns were 11-5 and in the second round of the playoffs. Life moves pretty fast. Speaking of moving pretty fast, it is time to run the hurry up with Jeff Darlington. Start us off, Jeff, if you will, with Odell Beckham Jr.'s free agency.
Well, perhaps no surprise, but Rams general manager Les Snead made very clear that they do want Odell Beckham Jr. back, but they also understand the complexities. What Snead said exactly was a little bit more complex situation based on his injury. He said, "We envision it being similar but differing circumstances to last year. When Odell is ready to play, we'd appreciate him being part of the Rams." We'll see if that can happen, if they can kind of close the gap when it comes to salary. The Vikings signing edge rushers Za'Darius Smith stays in the division to a 3-year, $42 million deal with added incentives. Now, this is a really nice deal for Smith when you consider those numbers, but it's a great deal when you consider the fact that Smith had agreed during that kind of tampering period 2 days before free agency on a deal that would have paid him $7 million less with one added year with the Ravens. He backed out of that deal, ended up signing this one instead. Good for him. Teron Armstead, the Dolphins get their man. You could argue that this was the most important free agent target for the Dolphins. They needed to solidify their offensive line to give Tua Tagovailoa some protection. He does, in fact, sign this deal. 5 years, $87 million. The Dolphins get their blindside tackle and can finally find out exactly what they have in Tua Tagovailoa now that they've got the protection to go with it.
Dolphins had the worst pass blocking unit in the entire league last year, according to ESPN's pass block win metric. When we come back, star quarterbacks on the move. That has been the story of the offseason. So which of them will be the most successful in his new home? And for a guy who hasn't played a game this season, Zion Williamson sure looks healthy. Why the Pelican star blew up the internet last night when we come back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. It's time now for Three's Keys. RG3's take on three of the biggest quarterback offseason moves. Robert, what do you got on Matt Ryan to Indy?
Oh, my goodness. This is unbelievable for the Indianapolis Colts and Matt Ryan, who seems rejuvenated by making this move. He brings stability to the position for them. This is a guy that is going to allow Frank Reich and his staff to really show their true genius, because he is going to execute the game plan. He's not going to go rogue, and he will deliver every week, week in and week out, as long as they deliver in the game plan. People need to realize that Matt Ryan is one of the best play-action passers in the entire league. And then next, oh, my God. We have Russell Wilson to the Broncos. So you're telling me they have a chance? No, they've got more than a chance. That Russell Wilson to the Broncos makes them have the second best quarterback in the AFC West. And Russell Wilson calls himself Mr. Unlimited. And I think him and Nathaniel Hackett are going to truly unlock the potential of this skill group. He'll be throwing moon balls to Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, and the gang for the entire season. It's going to be really exciting. And then you have Deshaun Watson to the Browns. Listen, three things can be true. Deshaun Watson is a special player, and his tape proves it. Deshaun Watson with this roster, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Amari Cooper, you got Myles Garrett on defense, a strong offensive line, they can win the whole dang thing. And then three, the Browns are telling everybody that winning trumps the 22 pending lawsuits, civil lawsuits of sexual assault and misconduct against Deshaun Watson. That is something that they have to own, and they can never run away from it.
That's for sure, and also possible discipline suspension there for Watson as well. We don't know about that yet, but these quarterbacks have shifted the landscape of the AFC and gotten their teams into the Super Bowl mix. According to Caesars, all three teams' odds to win it all got shorter after their big quarterback acquisitions. Biggest among them was Cleveland, dropped from 40-1 before the Watson trade down to 18-1 since that acquisition. So we got to thinking of these quarterbacks that have switched teams this offseason. Which one will have the most success in his new spot? Jeff Darlington, you pick first.
You know, when you love, when you want, first of all, the two guys here, Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan, both ended up with incredible places. And I think that both of these guys can be successful with our new team. I'm waiting for the graphic to pop up because I don't ultimately know which one I went with because it was so close in my mind. Thank you, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
The Denver Broncos. I love the idea of Russ, and I love the idea of Matt Ryan too. These are both obviously good landing spots. But like you said, Mr. Unlimited is unlimited. RG3 is exactly right when it comes to Russ's potential in Denver.
Ryan Clark, can you compete with that level of conviction from Jeff Darlington?
I absolutely cannot, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan has the team surrounding him that has been a quarterback away pretty much since they ran out of luck 4 years ago. And now you look at what Philip Rivers was able to do when the ghost of Philip Rivers took the Indianapolis Colts to the brink of winning against the Buffalo Bills. Last year, you don't get into the playoffs because Carson Wentz in the last two games against Las Vegas and Jacksonville doesn't show up. I believe Matt Ryan will. Matt Ryan has played good ball. It's just the fact that no one cared because he was still with the Atlanta Falcons, a team with a good defense, an excellent running game, and now a quarterback who has won an MVP. I believe Matt Ryan will have the opportunity to win football games in Indianapolis, and if he plays well, win big.
Robert, who's your pick?
Oh, it's Matt Ryan, unequivocally, for a number of reasons. One, he's not in the AFC West, right? So his path to success is a lot easier than Russell Wilson's. Two, he can possibly pull a Peyton Manning type of experience where he rides Jonathan Taylor, the running back, this offensive line, and the defense to a championship, because he's not going to be the sole reason that they win the Super Bowl. And then three, the other teams around the league, it's a copycat league. They saw the last two Super Bowl winners traded for a quarterback who maybe needed a change of scenery, came in and delivered for them when they were just a quarterback away. So I think Matt Ryan will have the most success.
All good points. You know, I was taking Russell Wilson because he's always been my second favorite member of the 2012 quarterback draft class. But I find it interesting that you point out the division, because it is going to be a more difficult path for him. So I wanted to ask you guys, RC, we'll start with you. What do you think constitutes success for these guys in year one? Russell's talking about playing 10, 12 more years. Ryan's going to be 38 years old. Like, what will success look like for these guys in year one?
Well, I think year one is about winning a Super Bowl. You don't go out and get the Matt Ryans. You don't go out and get the Russell Wilsons if you're not expecting to have a team that is truly just a very good quarterback away. And what you have to give up for Russell Wilson, and understanding that you will have to give him another contract at some point, it's about ascending, winning the AFC West, and winning a Super Bowl. And also, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, do you think that the AFC South is going to be enough to justify the fact that you now have brought Matt Ryan in and you're going to pay him the amount of money that you have to? These are guys who have been to the mountaintop. Matt Ryan didn't finish it. Obviously, he was playing against Tom Brady. Russell Wilson did against Peyton Manning. So if you are the Indianapolis Colts, if you are the Denver Broncos, you made this move for one reason, and that will be the only outcome of success that's enough to justify the reason you went out and got these two dudes.
Robert has a skeptical look on his face.
Graz, man, every team in the league right now is making moves to try to win the Super Bowl. So saying that success is only winning the Super Bowl is something that I feel like is falling on deaf ears for both of these teams, right? The Matt Ryan and the Colts, they're bringing Matt Ryan in because they don't want their quarterback to mess it up. They feel like they have the team in place to go win it all. But for the Broncos, they're bringing in Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, and he's trying to use all these new ingredients to go in the kitchen and cook up something really, really good. In year one, that might not be a Super Bowl. So I think for both of these teams, merely getting to the playoffs is a success. It's not what they want ultimately, but getting to the playoffs is good enough for this year.
All right, RC, sorry, you're waiting to be called
on. Can I go?
Yeah, sorry.
Yes. Yeah, I was waiting on you, Dan, because you are running the show today, and I will not talk over you. Bottom line is this. I played 13 years in the NFL. For 12 of those years, I was a failure. Period. I didn't win a Super Bowl. I got to another one. I was a failure that year as well. When you bring in dudes like this, you bring in people to win championships. These are not pieces to compete. That is a loser's mentality. And if winning a Super Bowl is losing a Super Bowl or not winning a Super Bowl does not mark the success or the lack of success for these teams, and if it's falling on deaf ears, may they never hear again. Because that's what it's about. That's why you build those teams. If it wasn't about that, you can roll with Carson Wentz. If it's not about that, you can roll with Teddy Bridgewater. We aren't putting teams together so we could say we win the AFC South. You go get Matt Ryan to win a Super Bowl because you believe your team is that good. You go get Russell Wilson to win a Super Bowl because you believe your team is that good. Just winning their divisions and being also Rams in the playoffs are failures to me, and it will be failures in that building.
One success, 31 failures. That certainly is depressing. We'll have more time to discuss that. When we come back, though, we're going to talk some basketball. Last night, Zion Williamson posted something on Instagram, and the internet went nuts. What that was and how his team should feel about it next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. If you would like to help support and donate, please visit redcross.org/ESPN.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet.
Get in the gym, bro.
Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip.
Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face.
Yes, it is time now for Ryan Clark to explain his tweets. If you don't follow Ryan Clark on Twitter, you ought to. We'll start with this one. Well, guys, the AFC is now QB heaven. If you are a Pro Bowl QB in the AFC, then you are an absolute football god. This is nuts. RC, what do you mean by that?
I mean, it's just crazy. Like, everybody is over there. You already had Patrick Mahomes, and you had the Justin Herberts, and you had Lamar Jackson, you had Joe Burrow. So now Matt Ryan is there. I thought Deshaun Watson was going to leave, and they were going to get some reprieve, but Deshaun Watson stays in Cleveland. And now you just have all these dudes who can flat-out ball. And it is a treacherous road if you're a quarterback in the AFC. And it's not only just about winning. It's not only about the individual stats. It's about the people you have to beat. It's about the people you have to go out and outproduce. And so every single week, it is going to be a fight to just be the best quarterback on the field. Not to be the best quarterback in the league, not to be all pro, not to be a Pro Bowler, not to one day hope that you could get a gold jacket. Nah, just to win that week. I don't know what the AFC owners got together and did. I don't know what they were talking about at the Super Bowl, what they talked about at the Combine, but they said, you know what, fellas? We finna spend all the money, we finna spend all the draft picks, and we want every single good quarterback other than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers to be in the AFC. And matter of fact, had Tom not retired, they probably would have went to try to go get him too. He was out to save himself from having to go over there. It is absolutely nuts, and I cannot wait until September.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I mean, even not quarterbacks. I mean, Devontae Adams, guys like that. So, yeah, amazing talent drain from NFC to AFC. Next up is a short and simple one. You tweeted, the NFL is king.
Well, I'm sitting around, bro, and it's March Madness, right? And March Madness is happening now. Basketball in the NBA is making its run to the end of the season. I mean, the MLB is on a lockout, and all we're talking about is football. Hey, y'all, ain't nobody putting on pads. We talked about dudes running around in tight clothes in Indianapolis and tight pants. Today, we're going to talk about Malik Willis because he rolled to the left and he threw it back across his body to the right. We're talking about all the free agency moves, and it feels like all NFL players are trying to one-up the other player. In the media, we got Tom Brady. He comes back. Aaron Rodgers says, you know what? Hold my beer. Let me get this 150. And then we got Deshaun Watson. As soon as the Chargers are dropped, now every team in the NFC South wants him unless they have Tom Brady. The Cleveland Browns come in. They swoop him up and give you $230 million guaranteed. David Mulligether is absolute agent of the year, agent of the decade. All this crazy stuff is happening, and people only care about football. And then maybe later on at night, somebody will get up and they'll play a March Madness game, and it'll come down to the buzzer, it'll go to overtime, and you'll see three tweets about it. And then everybody is back to the NFL. The NFL is king. All those people who tweet me, that's why the ratings are low, because you bring politics in. You a damn lie. Y'all still watching. Y'all still paying attention. And the NFL will always reign supreme in this country.
A lot to unpack there. The basketball games actually have been pretty good, but you're right. Finally, man, y'all really don't fool with Baker, huh? This is crazy. What are we talking about?
You know what? A lot of people thought when I said y'all don't fool with Baker that I was talking about the fans not fooling with Baker. No, I'm talking about these teams not fooling with Baker Mayfield. Sometimes I forget that he was the number one overall pick. I forget that he had a good rookie year and that he played well after Odell Beckham Jr. went out in his third year, because people are treating Baker like he has leprosy. Like they're walking around and they won't even allow Baker to touch the hem of their garment and heal himself. I mean, this is a dude that has produced. This is a guy who has been a good quarterback, and they refuse to even talk about him. The Indianapolis coach made it a point that the world knew we never made an offer for Baker. We never even considered Baker. Baker doesn't even play football in our minds. How far can you fall? Think about last offseason. We were talking about Baker Mayfield getting an extension, and Baker Mayfield wanted more money than the Cleveland Browns wanted to give him. So I bet right now he's sitting around talking about, you know what? I should have took the 30 because now I'm not finna get Nathan.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Ferris Bueller line I always go back to. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around every once in a while, you could miss it. To the NBA now. We had the game of the night. DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls taking on the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo back in the lineup. Bad news for Chicago. Second quarter, Bucks on a roll early, up 19. Giannis post up. The floater, it's good. Bucks up 21. Moments later, Bucks up now 23. Giannis passes to Brook Lopez for the three. We got seven-footers shooting three-pointers in this game. Bucks up as many as 26 in the first half, 16 at the half. Third quarter, the Bucks are up 13, and they're just pulling away. Jrue Holiday with the crossover and the bucket. Bucks up 15. 2 minutes later, they're up 18. Giannis just sitting out here behind the three-point line. Why not? He hits it. He was wide open. Bucks are rolling. They just left him there, figuring he couldn't do that, but he can do anything he wants. The bench is loving it. Later in the third, Bucks up 23. Giannis with a dunk over Tristan Thompson to take away all hope. This is the kind of night it was. Giannis finished with 25 points and 17 rebounds. The Bucks roll past the Bulls, 126-98. So with about 10 games to go in the season, the Bucks have now pulled to within 2 games of the Miami Heat for the best record in the Eastern Conference. The surging Celtics right behind them there in fourth. The Sixers right behind them, then the Celtics. That's 4 teams within 2.5 games of the top spot. So to talk a little basketball, we welcome in Tim Legler. Brian Windhorst supposed to be. Is Brian Windhorst around? Brian's going to join us in a little bit. But we got Tim Legler here. And that, there he is. There's Brian. I knew he was around here somewhere.
It's windy.
Yeah. So, look, we want to show you a little eye candy. This is Zion Williamson's Instagram account from last night. This is a dunk. He's, of course, rehabbing a fractured right foot that has kept him out for the entire season. But apparently good enough to do this and post it on Instagram. So a lot of mystery surrounding this situation. Brian, what's going on here?
Well, first off, this is an incredibly impressive display here. This is the epitome of the Zion Williamson excitement level, because it takes a lot to be able to pull off something like that. However, from what I understand, Zion is not cleared for that type of activity by the team yet. Now, they have not given an official update on his status in 3 weeks, but again, from what I understand, he has not progressed to that level in team workouts. You can tell from this video, it doesn't look like this is during the normal team practice. So what does this mean? Well, I don't know exactly, so I have to speculate, but it could be a message from Zion that he's ready to ramp up quicker and ready to play quicker. And this has been a tension point with Zion dating back to his rookie year, when the Pelicans were very slow to bring him back from a knee injury. The Pelicans, because he's had several setbacks just with this injury throughout the course of this season, they have been very, very slow to integrate him back in. And while they haven't said he's out for the year officially, if he hasn't been cleared for one-on-one, much less three-on-three or five-on-five, figuring he could come back in 3 weeks seems unlikely. So this could be Zion sending a message that he's ready to ramp up faster.
Tim, what was your reaction when you saw this video on Instagram?
I mean, my first reaction was, man, wouldn't it be nice to see this guy in the court? Because you remember what he gave us last year, right? Yeah. And how electrifying this guy is and what a difference maker he is. So for me to see this, all that does is frustrate Pelicans fans, because they're going, wait a second, if he can do this, why isn't he playing? Now, for me, it's inconceivable to think that Zion Williamson's going to play this year, because if he is still the guy you're hoping will be the cornerstone of your franchise, the last thing you're going to do, if somehow put him in the lineup some here in the last 5-6 games of the year, or potentially in a play-in situation with that kind of intensity, the games being more meaningful than they've been at any point, more physical this time of year, mean more to everybody. You're going to throw the face of your franchise out there at this time of the year when he hasn't played all season, being incomprehensible to me. But hey, it's great to see Zion doing that, because we haven't seen Zion do anything on a basketball court that resembled the athlete that he was.
Yeah, and that's one issue. Another is, obviously, this makes you wonder about his future with New Orleans. Brian's talking about tension between him and the team, so a lot going on there with Zion. But we want to talk right now about a different availability issue, and this is the one regarding Kyrie Irving and the Nets here in New York City. New York City Mayor Eric Adams yesterday talking about the possible rollback of the COVID-19 employer mandate that is keeping Kyrie from playing. He said, right now we're going to take some complaints. When this is all said and done, people are going to realize this is a thoughtful administration and we got it right. So baseball, basketball, businesses, all of those things, they will have to wait until that layer comes. So, Brian, that sure does not sound like a mayor who's about to lift the restrictions that would allow the unvaccinated Kyrie Irving to play basketball in New York City. What do you make of this situation with Kyrie and the Nets, as there's only 10 games left in the regular season?
Yeah, and obviously the situation with baseball, that's an outside sport. So if he is being, if he wants to take time on an outside sport, certainly the inside sport is going to face scrutiny. Also, over the last couple of days, the case levels in New York City have slightly increased, as we've seen that in Europe with a subvariant of the Omicron situation. And so that's a concern. If you're a Nets fan, you don't want those case levels to go up because that will make it unlikely they will peel that back. And also, if you're a Nets fan, right now, Toronto is in the seventh spot and Brooklyn is in the eighth. If it were to end that way, Kyrie couldn't even play in the road play-in game that would be first. So at this moment, I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't look great. And Eric Adams, the New York City mayor, has doubled, tripled, and quadrupled down that he is not going to be pressured to have Kyrie and these other guys play.
You see these numbers. When he plays, he's pretty much unbelievable. But 10 games left, right? Six of them are at home and one's at Madison Square Garden. He can't play in any of those. And then Brian mentions they get to the play-in. Toronto's doesn't want, they don't want to hear it either. He's not going to be able to play up there. So how much trouble are the Nets in if they can't have him regularly?
Yeah, deep trouble. Look, you've got Kevin Durant on your team. You can win a one-game situation where you've got to get out of the play-in. And so that won't surprise me. Kevin Durant could do something spectacular. But when you start to get into a seven-game series, if they escape that, and now you're playing the best of seven against one of the top teams in the East, and you don't have Kyrie Irving for half of that series, Kevin Durant is just going to get nothing but blitzes every time he crosses half court. I saw Dallas do that to him in Brooklyn, you know, a week and a half ago. And Dallas had to win that game with a buzzer beater, but they played terribly that night. They're not even a great team, and they still beat Brooklyn because they just took the ball out of Kevin Durant's hands all night. They don't have the dynamic playmaking outside of him. So I don't see them winning a seven-game series if Kyrie Irving is only available for part of that series. They can get to that point because they've got Kevin Durant. But when you start making adjustments against a great scorer and you can run different guys at him and he does not have that other dude out there to help him create offense, I think the Nets are going to have a very difficult time winning a series against Miami, Milwaukee, Philly, Boston. You take your pick. I think that's going to be a tough proposition.
Yeah, and as we were just discussing, they still might have to win a game or two just to get into that kind of series. So big trouble with the Nets. Tim and Brian, thank you. I want you guys to pay attention to this. ESPN is running Memphis Grizzlies All Access today. It's an in-depth look at all things Grizzlies. And part of that coverage includes an interview of Ja Morant by our Malika Andrews. Take a look.
Morant in transition. Oh, Ja Morant!
Filthy. Absolutely filthy.
Fun seems to kind of be your game. It seems to be your trash talk. It seems to be, I mean, do you take pride in that?
I feel like, you know, just Memphis, you know, I feel like that's, you know, our identity. Starting, you know, with the grit and grind era. And now to ours. You know, we took on that, you know, that role, that mindset to, you know, be like those guys, and you know, no matter what we're doing out there on the floor, you know, we're gonna play hard, and you know, we're gonna, you know, be very aggressive, physical, and you know, we'll let you hear about it.
There's this photo that was taken over All-Star Weekend. It's of you, Steph, Dwayne Wade, Ray Allen. What was it like to be standing with those guys? What were you thinking?
Definitely, you know, was kind of surreal, you know, to even, you know, just be a part of it, and actually, you know, get to witness that. And, you know, their message was, it's a lot of room up there for me. So, you know, that gave me confidence and definitely, you know, some motivation to, you know, go be on that stage.
As I mentioned, part of our all-access, behind-the-scenes look at one of the hottest teams in the NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies. It's all day today, exclusive coverage. Malika connecting with Ja Morant, styling with big man Jaren Jackson Jr., Jalen Rose hits the film room with Desmond Bane. Also, live from Memphis, catch NBA Today at 3 p.m. Eastern and NBA Countdown at 7 p.m. Eastern. All that leading up to the Nets-Grizzlies game at 7:30 Eastern. When we come back, Tom Brady came back, and that means the Bucks will be great again, right? Has Brady's team gotten better since his playoff loss? We will discuss.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
The NFL offseason has given us unprecedented movement at the quarterback position, and that got us thinking about the future. Like, could this stuff continue to happen? So we're going to play a little game called What Happens If. Robert Griffin III, what happens if Aaron Rodgers and the Packers win the Super Bowl this season?
Oh, if they win the Super Bowl, oh, Lord, Aaron Rodgers is going to retire on top on the spot. He would have put to bed all the questions about why he only has one ring, and he would have done it without Devontae Adams, which nobody saw coming. So if the Packers win the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers is definitely going to retire. He will be the host of Jeopardy, and he's going to do a podcast called COVID Toe, and everybody's going to listen.
That's a remarkably specific prediction. Jeff Darlington, what happens if Tua and the Dolphins don't make the playoffs?
Far from the specificity with which RG3 delivered that, I say that, look, here's the deal. The Dolphins have now put a tackle in place in Teron Armstead. They have added wide receivers, running backs, guards, all sorts of different elements here, and it could mean that if Tua Tagovailoa struggles, they finally do make the change. I don't want to come across as negative there, though, because certainly it feels like this could be his year.
Ryan Clark, what happens if Tom Brady wins his eighth Super Bowl? It sounds silly even to say it. His eighth Super Bowl ring.
Pretty much nothing. I mean, it ain't gonna change the way we feel about Tom Brady. We already think he's the greatest to ever do it. And all it's gonna do is just add another notch to what greatness is. And we're gonna start looking at these other quarterbacks who we think are extremely good and be like, but look how much better Tom Brady was. Look how much more Tom Brady did. Look how much better Tom Brady's teams were than everybody's team for over two decades. And I think that's all that Tom Brady is continuing to do. Now, it'll give us more to talk about here, because no matter how many times we say it, we'll be like, oh, but you remember he retired and then he won. But other than that, pretty much nothing changes. The dude is the GOAT, and if he wins another one, it'll stay the same.
I guess part of the question was supposed to be, do you think he'd retire? But I think we're all done trying to predict that. The Bucs are gearing up for that eighth Brady ring, as they have made a ton of moves, mostly re-signing some of their own key free agents, guys like Chris Godwin, Carlton Davis, Leonard Fournette got done yesterday. They have, however, lost a couple of offensive linemen and still haven't re-signed Rob Gronkowski, Jason Pierre-Paul, or Ndamukong Suh. Somehow I feel like Gronk gets back there one way or the other. But this led us to wonder, are the Buccaneers, Jeff Darlington, better or worse right now than they were last season?
They are better for certain reasons, not the least of which is the fact that the division that they're playing in feels worse. They do, though, have the fourth toughest strength of schedule entering this season in the NFL. That's going to make things difficult. But look, Jason Light, the general manager, continues to find ways to add the pieces necessary to keep this team relevant with Tom Brady. The addition of Leonard Fournette, to me, is massive. I don't know how they get back to the Super Bowl without a key running back like Fournette. I think that that is the latest addition, but also perhaps the most important. That's why I think that this team ultimately will be better, even though it might look very similar.
Robert, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if it matters if they're better or not. Listen, the Bucs won the Super Bowl in 2020 after not even winning their own division. So last year they won the division and they got booted out of the playoffs. But for me, the key for the Bucs was obviously Tom Brady deciding to Jordan meme his kids and come back out of retirement after 40 or so days. That makes him instantly the second best team in the NFC behind the Super Bowl reigning champions, the Los Angeles Rams. So they bring back Leonard Fournette, which is huge. They trade for Shaq Mason, which fills one of their guard spots that they needed. And what I love is Russell Gage. The Russell Gage signing is sneaky, and it's a beautiful one. And I think I can see over there the Gronk signal, because he'll be back too. Why not run it back with Brady and the boys? And I even saw Edelman at UCLA catches some passes from Brady, so bring him in too.
Yeah, you saw that, Robert.
I can't even imagine what the Gronk signal would look like. Ryan Clark, we already know that you consider the Buccaneers season to have been a massive failure because they lost in the playoffs to the eventual Super Bowl champions. But are they better now than they were last year?
Dan Graziano, your sarcasm does not bother me. I absolutely said it, and I 100% mean it. Every time you start a season and you don't win a Super Bowl, your season was a failure. You're at home watching the Super Bowl with people who don't get paid to do your job, which means you failed. So you can say it however the hell you want it, all the times you want to say it. Yes, that's what I believe. And I believe the same thing happens this year. I don't believe that this team will be as good as last year's team during the regular season. Now, whenever you have Tom Brady, do you have an opportunity to make a run? Do you have a guy that understands how to excel and how to play in the biggest moments? You do. The NFC is weaker this year, so I believe throughout the season they'll have an opportunity to continue to get better and be ascending at the most important time. But when you look at this roster and the losses of even people small like Jordan Whitehead, I just don't believe this team is as good from a roster standpoint as they were headed into last season.
Still time to add to the roster, certainly as the offseason goes on, plenty of time. What we know is that they don't need a quarterback, but there are still NFL teams who do it. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Baker Mayfield and whether he should be on the speed dial of those quarterback needy teams. We'll talk about it next.